So we begin a new perek today, and we start off with this concept of negoyim that cannot be tamei at the moment that they became a nega. In that event, would they become tamei when the situation changes, and now the same nega, that is to say, the same coloration of skin, would be tamei? So, I mean, look, there's an obvious case. I mean, suppose someone had a nega before Kabbalah Satira, and then he still has that nega after the Kabbalah Satira. And this is a bit of a problem, because I thought everything was cured on Har Sinai, so there shouldn't be any negayim. So how did that happen? I mean, weren't all the nigei levavai cured on Har Sinai? Okay, this is a bit of a problem. So we have a simpler case. First, someone is non-Jewish, and he has a baheret. So a baheret on a goy is meaningless. Now he becomes Jewish, and magically his baheret didn't disappear. That's rather strange. He went to the mikvah and everything, but he still had that baheret. So what happens then? If it was a baheret before it was shayach to being a nega, it remains tar. Suppose you have a nega on a fetus. Well, the Kohen sure can't get in to see the fetus because bayit afel ain't potrin chalonot lirot et nigo. So because of that, we do not take a gander at a fetus to see whether his baheret is considered to be tamei or not. And he's born with that nega. Or suppose a nega appeared in a flap of skin, and then the person ends up losing weight or gaining weight, depending where the flap is, and now it's exposed. So maybe at that point it should be a nega. Nope, because it appeared when it wasn't a nega. Or maybe he got a nega on his head or in his beard. But a nega does not cause tuma on a head or on a beard. It only a netek would make that tummy, not a nega. And then his hair falls out. And now, all of a sudden, it's on a hairless area. How about if a nega baheret appeared on an actual shchin or a mikveh, or any type of kedach, any type of abraded skin, but while they are still mordim, remember the word mordim means they are rebelling against the body's attempt to cover them over with new skin, right? So the din is that it's only on the tsarevet hashchin that you can have a baheret. But not on an actual shchin, it's on a tsarevet hamikvah where there's a thin layer of fresh skin. But you cannot actually, on damaged skin, have a tamei baheret. In this case, the baheret appeared initially on the damaged skin, and it remained as the skin repaired itself. So over there, it would still be tahar. So chozar harosh v'hazakan v'nikrechu. So in the event that then his hair fell out, or the shchina, the mikvah, or the kedach now began to heal. So now it's utzarevet. So now we have this thin layer of skin on it. And the baheret remains. In all cases where the initial baheret was tahar, the remaining baheret is still tahar. If you can't make it tamei when it shows, you can't make it tamei later. Now, how about where the opposite is true? The nega was initially a nega that was tamei, and then things changed, and they became non-shayach to being a nega, and then they went back again to the way it was initially. What would be the din there? Let's imagine a case where you have a rosh and a zakan, and it was an infant's head, or it was a boy's beard. There was no hair. Oh, boy. Okay, and the skin had a baheret. So in that case, the baheret is tamei. Now the baby grows hair. The boy grows a beard. And then it's no longer shy after being a baheret. And then the hair fell out. V'nikrechu. Or suppose you had a shchin and a mikvah and a kedach before the tzarevet appears. Achelo nasu tzarevet. And at that point, it was not a nega, and then it became a tzarevet, Nasutzarevet. And then it ended up healing completely. So it started, it starts off unhealthy, normal skin. Then it turns into a Shekhinah Namichva. Then it becomes a Tzarevet. So now it starts good, goes bad, and then becomes good again, good from the point of view of being able to be a Baharat. Same as the first case. What's the din? Does it go according to the beginning and end? Or if there is any period during which it could no longer have been a nega, does it lose its shame nega? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, in all cases where it begins and ends, we don't care what happens in the middle. And since titchilatan and sofan were shayach to tuma, so it remains a proper nega and he's metame. But the chachamim are metayer, because according to the chachamim, the moment that there is a change in the din of that nega, because it's no longer in an area that is shayach to the nega, it doesn't re-become nega when now suddenly it becomes again shayach to being skin that is a nega. It's got to be a nega from beginning to end, or you have to wait until a new nega appears before you could deal with it as a nega at all. Perek Zayin Mishnah Beit. The question here is, how about if, besides the change in circumstances, there was a change in coloration? So does the change in coloration that came along with the changed circumstances combine to give us now a new nega that we need to deal with or not? Nishtanu mar'en. So if along with the change in situation, there was also nishtane mar'en, I don't care how it changed, whether it got worse or it got better. So bein la, which we'll explain in a minute what we mean by lahakel or lahachmir, because there isn't really a lahakel or lahachmir in the Maariv and the Goyim. They all have exactly the same halacha. So before we continue, the Mishnah wants to explain, okay, what do you mean? Well, I mean, when I say lahakel, what I mean is that originally it was kishelek, which is the most white. Remember from the opening of the Masechet. It was the most white. It's the Baharat. And then after, let's say, after the person became Jewish or after the skin healed or whatever, now it turned into a much duller white, which is the Tzura of the Sidai Echal. So now that is considered, that was a machlokas, but according to the Chachamim, this is the sapachat of the Baharat. So it's the told of the Baharat. Or let's say it started off as a se'et. It was a tzemer lava. Now it went down in mar'eh, and it became now the sapachat of the se'et, which is even duller, which is the color of the egg membrane. So in other words, we're saying, this is another way to say the same thing. So saying this, in other words, is, in other words, originally, the se'et now becomes a sapachat se'et. Originally, the baharat now becomes a sapachat of the baharat, which we're calling a sapachat of azah. That's what I mean when I say lahakel. And when I say lahakmer, what do I mean? I mean the opposite. I mean, it started off as a krum beit sa, and then it turned into tzemer lova. It started off as kesidai echal, and then it turned into shelik. Okay, so what would be the din in that? Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah says, I don't care. Because basically, whether it turns into a brighter white or a duller white, it's same nega. Since when do changes in the nature of the white imply changes in the dinim of the nega? And therefore, we can't combine a change of coloration in any direction to the change of circumstances. Rabbi Eliezer chasma einer. No. Let's not jump to conclusions. If the color of the nega has become less nega-like, meaning it's not as white as it was, then I agree it's tar. But where the change in circumstances was combined with a change, lechumra in coloration, so now it became more white than it was, then I say it's now a nega, and you got to look at it, because this is a new nega. The combination makes a new nega, and now the Kohen should look at it. Shotera'e batchila, and this will be the first time, that is to say, that this nega is being looked at. Rabbi Akiva, Amer, Bein la'kel, bein la'achmer tera'e batchila. According to Rabbi Akiva, any change in coloration is considered to be combined with a change in circumstance, is considered to be a new nega, and therefore it has to be tera'e batchila. Okay, three different shitas. And this, of course, is the first time that we noted that a change in coloration could actually make a nafkamina ladina, because the way we had been learning, that which was the Rambam shita throughout, is that the colors are all the same for all dinim. It never occurred to us that a change in circumstance could make a different halacha in terms of a change in coloration. Live and learn. So now we are in Perek Zayin, Mishneh Gimel. So now the question is, getting to the actual Seder HaDvarim. Here is the Kohen, and he is presented with various things. Okay, let's take the case where he is presented with a Baheret, with nothing in that Baheret. All he sees is a patch of white on the skin. And now, whenever this occurs, whether it occurs initially, whether it occurs at the end of the first week, the din is, you put this nega into Hezger, either into Hezger Rishon or into Hezger Sheni, but you put it into Hezger. Now, if it's at the end of the second week, or if it's the end after he's already seen it before and it was Potter, then it's completely Tahar. So if there is nothing in that nega at the end of a second week, there's no Pisyon, there's no Michya, there's no Sarah Lavan, then the nega is Tahar. Now, Odeo Masgiro Poter, here's the Kohen looking at him, and he is about to mention, lovely, you've got no problem here, this is Tahar. Or, whew, you're in luck, you got no problem here, we're going to put you into Hezger for a week, and hopefully nothing will go wrong. And as he's saying those words, all of a sudden, right in front of his eyes, there pops up Sear Lavan, or there starts being a Pisayon before he had a chance to say the word Tar. Venol de lo simanei tuma. He has to be machlid him right then and there, and it's no longer a case of Hezger. It's a case of overs. Now, let's take another case. The Kohen is presented with a Baheret, which does have a Siman Tuma in it, and he's supposed to say Tomei. And whoop, as he's looking at that Nega, and he is forming the word Tomei in his mouth, imagine what happens. Poof! The Siman Tuma disappears right in front of his eyes. And Ochulahem Simanei Tuma. I don't care when this happens. Whether it happened right at the beginning, Betchila, or whether it happened at the end of Savua Rishon. And he was going to say Mukhlat. All he's left with is a Baheret without a Siman Tuma. Then he just puts it into its first or its second Hezger. If this happened at the end of the second Hezger, or after he had already impotted it, then he can say Tahar. And there's no problem whatsoever. And man, this guy got a last-minute reprieve. Okay, beautiful. So now we're deep into the seventh parak. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow for more happiness.
Rebbe, I just want to clarify, to make sure, when Rebbe said that nega libo b'chol adam, any person, Rebbe meant any person of Yisrael, not any human being, because it was in the context of Yisrael, not of the goy. It said kol ha'adam, but...
Yes, but since in the very same parasha, Shlomo HaMelech says, a separate pasuk for the goy, right? That kikol asher. So that pasuk implies that the first pasuk that spoke about ish nega levavo was speaking only about Yisrael, obviously, right? Okay, that's the whole point. Shlomo HaMelech makes that distinction himself. Yeah.
Right.
Right. No, no, no. That's the whole problem. The problem is this. We have two separate makaras for the din. One makara is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sivui in Shmos to tell us how to make a Mishkan, but that doesn't tell us how to make a Migdash. So the Migdash was HaKol Biktav Miyad Hashem Alai Hizkil. And that was brought as an avias to David, to Shlomo, to Shmuel, who gave it to David, who gave it to Shlomo. And that was a special Megillah that had been written, Benayot, when David was sitting, hiding out in the most lovely days of his life, learning with Shmuel. So that was wonderful, in Nayot. And that's Noyo Shalolam is a remes, the most beautiful thing in the world that they were being Isaac in. Lucky them. So because of that, you can't change anything in that because it's all Akol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem. So what are you going to do? If you don't know what the din is, you still have to have that Amma, but you don't know where to put it, right? So I have to put in two parochets to duplicate the equivalent space of the Amma. The Gemara is going to be dealing with this tomorrow, and we'll go through the sfeikas that they had about the trucks.